Here we go. We're ready. Let's see. Okay, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Wine Box podcast. This is episode 100. Yes, that's right. 100.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
No, it's true. Top 5 Superman stories. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard. And hold on.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Wow. I am Murray Fox, and I cannot compete with that.
Don't even try. It's freaking John Paul, Ringo, and George. You can't compete with that.
I have to admit, that was pretty impressive, man.
That was all me, actually. I performed that whole thing myself.
Oh, sure you did.
I'm sure I did not.
Okay. All right, then. Okay, well.
We were arguing about that the other day. We think that at places like Red Robin and such, that they should teach the people to sing that version of Happy Birthday and not those crappy, clappy.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyhow, sorry. Go ahead with your introduction.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Let's see. What was I going to say? Oh, yes. Episode 100, boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
And as a somewhat of an anniversary issue, if we were a comic book, we would be over 100 pages and it cost $6.
And we'd be all reprints.
All reprints, exactly. We're not going to do one of those flashback episodes like they used to do on old sitcoms when they'd run out of crap to do. Show snippets of funny crap that happened. We're not going to do that. No, we're going to have new material, unlike the mess that was last episode.
That was all new material.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was kind of fun just to kind of shoot the crap. I'm sure everybody loved to hear my story about my air conditioning. Even though Peter Rios did, in fact, retweet that when it came out on the Twitter feed. So that I was impressed with that. So we must be doing something right. Who knows? Maybe that was the only one he listened to. So. Or not. Maybe he just, you know. But anyway, yeah, we're doing top 5 Superman
stories. Psychotic guys, here you go.
Yeah, top 5 Superman stories, considering it is Superman's 50th. Wait, no, not 50th. 75, what the hell am I thinking? That was a long time ago. 50th. what was I doing? Oh, yeah, It was... 75th anniversary.
Kids, don't do drugs.
No, don't do drugs. Well, mine are all prescriptions, thank you. So we have come up with our top 5 Superman stories.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, girlfriend.
A couple alternates. But yeah, we're ready to go.
Because I know you guys are going to steal at least one of mine, maybe two.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Maybe.
Now, the one caveat I really put on this when I suggested this was okay. Superman family stuff. So, you know, yes, they do involve Superman, but at least two of mine are not necessarily straight.
Oh,
Superman.
Mine isn't straight Superman either. No, mine isn't either. I got some other things, and maybe an Elseworlds or two.
Well, yeah. You sound organized. Why don't you go?
Yeah. Well, I was not organized, but I got home earlier than I thought, and I threw it together in a half hour. I was waiting for you guys to show up, so I had it in my brain off and on the other day. It's like, let me get another story. Oh yeah, that would be a good one. That's tied in my head.
Gotcha.
What was that? Sound effects?
Yeah, that was my sound effect.
Okay, good deal. I'll start off.
Go for it.
Number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find the link. Okay, here it is. These are all on Comixology, which, you know, they would have been mine anyway.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. This one would be the number one, or number five, I should say. Starting off would be Action Comics, number 591, volume one, of course. This is when they did the crossover with the Superboy, Superman thing right after the Crisis. You know, they had redone Superman. There was no such thing as Superboy. So he shows up in a alternate Smallville, and, you know, Legion was in the previous issue. You know, this is a John Byrne all over cover, written by, pencils by, well, though there was some guy that did some inking and colored by somebody else, but still. And you know why I like this? I'll tell you why. It's because the Man of Steel Superman that John Byrne created gets the crap kicked out of him by Superboy. That's why. And that's why I love it.
Now, which Superboy was this again? Remind me. I'm sorry.
This
said it,
was the one from the, and I'm using air quotes, pocket universe that the Time Trapper created.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
And they, I was looking at Superman stuff, and they had this as a story arc called Future Shock. And it comes with in the story arc of Superman number 8 and Action Comics number 591, which I'm going to purchase both of them here as soon as we're done.
This is the one that has that Legion, that awesome Pinkevich Legion cover on it.
Yeah. And on the cover shows Superboy, I don't know, we'd call him Superboy what, Pocket Universe or whatever, but that's the supposedly the Superboy the Legion has been visiting, you know, that's what they told it. Well, the Legion fans know this story, so I won't go patch it, but it's when they rebooted Superman at the end of the Crisis, John Byrne, and they decided to wipe out all existence of Superboy to some extent, and they, of course, they had to explain who the Superboy was that the Legion had been visiting, or had been visiting the Legion, both. And so that's how they did it. You know, Superboy was in the pocket universe created by Trapper. But on the cover is a picture of that Superboy punching Superman in the face. Now, one of the things they did in the Man of Steel when they did the reboot, after the Crisis, is they made Superman not near as powerful. So that Superman couldn't, like, move planets and, you know, make the Earth rotate backwards to reverse time and funky things like that, or time travel unaided. So the Superboy was extremely more powerful, and he kicked the crap out of him. Even
I forgot all about that story. I loved that story.
I did too. It was awesome. Because at the time, I hated what they did, which has pretty much all been undone at this point. But
I like that John Byrne was willing to let his version of Superman get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's very non-John Byrne-like. Usually when John Byrne has a creation, it's like they are the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
His version of Doctor Doom was the be-all, end-all.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, if you ask him, it wasn't his idea to get rid of Superboy, but if you ask other people, it was his idea. So, you know, whoever you believe, you know, not taken away from John Byrne being a great artist and a great writer, he's still an asshole. So... Hey, I'm sorry, okay? You just send me some letters, that's fine. I met the man, though it was like over, I don't know, that was 96, I think. And he's, you know, I don't think anybody would disagree with me with the fact that the man's an asshole.
Your buddy from,
Rod Trent? Yeah, he probably would disagree with me.
He's always posting those nice John Byrne pinups.
I didn't realize he was such a big fan until he started doing that, but hey, that's fine. We don't always agree on everything anyway. So, that's my number five.
Alrighty.
Who's next?
Murray is.
Alright then. I'm going to go with Superman 400.
Superman 400.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why? What is Superman 400?
It's a big one of those anniversary issues that they were putting out in the 80s, I'm sure. Like 84. Like
every even number was an anniversary.
Well, this is 400. That's like a big deal.
Yeah, I know, but and it seems like they did that a lot. It's 425. It's an anniversary issue.
No, this was a big anniversary issue. It was cool, and they had like the gold logo across the top saying it was anniversary, and it's kind of a cool issue. Like it's is it 100 pages? It's huge. It's 70 or 80 anyway, and it's got all sorts of different artists doing their take on Superman, and there's kind of a story that runs throughout the book, but really it's a chance for different creators
I still have that.
Yeah, it's they get to show their love for Superman, and they all do little stories, and there's probably a thread that kind of connects them all together, but that's
a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just comics creators saying, hey, Superman's cool, and there's pinups, and there's little stories, and there's beautiful artwork, and an essay or two.
I enjoyed that.
It was $2. $2.
Actually, $1.50.
$1.50. Well, American.
Wait a minute. $2 Canadian. You're right. Sorry.
See, even back then, we were getting hosed.
Well, I think your money's worth more than ours now.
And what a Frank Miller drawing a straight Superman story.
Yeah, like you had Steranko, you had Mike Grell, Jack Davis, Steve Ditko, Chaykin, Byrne, yeah. Ray Bradbury. Like it was
I'm
Marshall
sure
Rogers.
Perez even did a spread a little in there, but I can't be. Not on the cover anyway.
Yeah.
Mobius did a pinup.
Yes, that's right. I remember
it's
that.
Just filled with all these classic creators that are just given a take on the Superman story, and it's fun to read.
Yeah, that's great stuff there.
I don't know that I appreciated it as much when I got it, but every time I pull it out now and reread it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I probably didn't either at the time.
I probably didn't even get it. 84? Oh my god, I would never have picked up an issue of Superman in 84.
Anything like that that had anniversary or crap like that.
Anniversary, annual, miniseries, I got them all. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, I was pretty much buying everything then, I think.
I didn't kick in with Superman, I mean, as a regular thing until Man of Steel, so.
Oh. I did. I think I kicked in on there, too, about that time. And then back in when the death of... And we all got hosed.
Julie Schwartz was editing this.
Yeah. Good old Julie Schwartz.
Goodness, great. This is a good pick.
That is great.
And it's just an anthology, essentially.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's right, like... My Superman. Anthologized.
Anthologized.
Yep.
Very good choice.
Yes, ooh, it is.
It had Toy Man in it. So. Hmm. I bet it was on that 99 cent sale that they had, too, a couple months ago.
You know, I just looked. It's not on there at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Anthology. Pull your head out of your butts.
Well, you know, they're working on scanning everything.
Clearly, you're not going to these special places on the internet when stuff is all scanned already.
Yeah, true. All right, Caleb, your turn.
All right. Well, my first choice or fifth choice or whatever, in no particular order, is Superman number 162, first volume, July 1963, written by Leo Dorfman with art by Kurt Swan. And this is the original... And it's an imaginary tale of the time. It's the original Superman Red, Superman Blue story.
Oh, wow.
Never read it.
Oh, I got it. You see, this is one of those things I know for a fact I got in as part of a digest somewhere. You know, it was just, it was a story crammed in one of those 100-page blue ribbon digests somewhere, which I can't find a reference to that digest. I didn't dig very hard, but I couldn't find a reference to it. But The essential story is that Superman's just like, you know what? I need to solve the world's problems, and I can't do it on my own. So he thinks I need to increase my intelligence. So he creates this kryptonite-based ray in Kandor, in his Fortress of Solitude, and inadvertently it splits him into two beings, you know, two Superman.
Well, that's hilarious.
A Superman Red and a Superman Blue, which the concept has been revisited a few times.
They made the whole energy being thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
My kids are screaming. They're excited, too. And they go about and they solve the world's problems, including curing evil, in which by curing evil, by the anti-evil ray, Luthor becomes good and goes out and starts curing all illness in the world. And it cures, it cured communism, because apparently communism was evil.
Did they cure homosexuality, too?
You know what? They didn't get into that, but...
Okay.
But Jimmy did end up marrying a girl, so perhaps.
Okay, well, that's good. Because you know, the first thing I was like, they cured communism. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. That was what, 50s? Had to have been.
Well, this was this is 1963.
Yeah, that would be about the time for that. Well, quickly, I'd say, not that I think that homosexuality needs a cure. I'm just saying the mentality of that time frame, that would seem to fit. So, okay. Anyway.
I don't know who this Leo Dorfman guy was. So I don't know.
I never heard of him.
And then there was a cool scene in there where they're like, well, we cure all the stuff. We're going to get married. And they decide they're going to fight over who gets to choose Lois and who gets to choose Lana. And at a certain point, they realize, well... Blue liked Lana anyhow, and he marries her and
has super kids.
Has super kids, and Lois sticks around with Superman Red, and
Red got custody of Krypto though.
Yes,
Blue
he did.
Got screwed.
And of course, like I said, the concept was revisited. They did the electric blue Superman, and they did
which is funny because my mom brought over the Entertainment Weekly that went over the 75th anniversary, and it has this list of all these Superman, you know, faces. And she's like, "What?" She pointed at that one. I'm like, "What in the world is that, Mom? You don't even want to know." She's like, "What the?" Anyway,
the updated version's got action figures, so your mom, you know.
Yeah, I made a good profit on selling mine, by the way.
And anyhow, that just it holds a place in my heart as a Superman story, and it's a one shot. And back when they could still do one shots and stuff,
it is kind of a foreign concept for these days, isn't it?
Yeah. As we get into my other choices, yes.
So, all right then, that's a good choice.
Thank you.
Good choice. Next up on my list would be the recently finally read All-Star Superman.
Ooh.
Got that one. It was on sale. It was like $1 a piece, and I'm going to have to get the Absolute Edition of this because I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. Morrison, he captured a lot of that Silver Age-y stuff that... You know, it's cool to look at now in retrospect, but, you know, you didn't know it was cheesy back then, but that whole story was really good. Really enjoyed it.
And it's funny, one of my alternates, I actually picked the video version of that.
The what now?
The video version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need to see that. It's on Netflix, I think, now.
But yeah, I recently reread the 12 issues myself. I have a trade paperback of it.
I'm going to have to get the trade of it. That too. Who knows? I might get all of them, both of them.
It's definitely worth a spot on the bookshelf.
That is a great story. Great story.
Did you have a particular chapter that jumps out at you? Like, this is awesome Silver Age.
Well, when he was showing Lois around the the fortress. That was really cool. It was like all the classic Superman tropes, the Ball City and all that. I thought the twist with overtaxing his, oh, spoilers by the way, you know, how he is, what Lex Luthor did to him, because that's like a big plot point. I'll leave that alone. And I would love to see a sequel to that, but I doubt that'll ever happen. But yeah, it's good stuff. It really is.
I really like the two-parter when he's stuck on the Bizarro world.
Yeah, and you know, I think they reused that in a Superman, Johns did in a Superman story, I don't know, not in the last 3 or 4 years, I don't know. I don't know when that story came out, to tell you the truth. When was that published? Print release date 2005. Okay.
Now, Marie, have you read this?
I haven't. Not even a little bit.
It's like, and I've said it many times before. I'm always hit and miss with Grant Morrison. Either it makes absolutely completely no sense, or I love it, and this is one I loved. I really did enjoy it.
I will have to look, because I've heard lots of good things.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to like it. That was one of those ones where I was like, I don't want to like this, but I ended up enjoying it.
Well, it's a hell of a lot better than the All-Star Batman, that's for sure. I never even finished that. Of course, they didn't finish it, so.
They haven't finished that either.
Yeah.
Oh, but they will someday.
Yeah, whatever. I doubt that highly.
I'm reflecting back on it. I'm not usually a big Quietly fan. Frank Quietly or Quitley or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I do. I actually do like his art.
I go back and forth, but this was very, very appropriate for the story. He does that Silver Age-y quality incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I figured that would end up on one of your lists.
Yeah, I couldn't stop reading it once I started it. It was really good. I tried to space it out and make it last a couple of days, but I ended up reading like 2 issues a day, so it didn't take very long.
I'm pretty certain the video is on Netflix, and
that's where my nephew saw it. So
I would recommend it. It's as a watch. You're gonna they do obviously cut out.
Oh yeah,
portions of it, but
that frequently.
Yeah, and a lot of the better stuff though stays in there, and it's definitely PG-13. It does get the whole violence at the end of the story is in there.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Damn good choice.
All right, who's next? Lee Murray.
Me? Okay. Okie dokie. Then I'm going to go with... How about a two-parter from World's Finest number 178 and 180 for some reason. I don't know what happened to 179, but whatever.
Is that the Legion one?
Nope. It's from... it's from one of those DC Blue Ribbons digests.
Oh.
It's called The Has-Been Superman, and he loses his powers, and he takes on... It's one of those imaginary tales, and he takes on the identity of Nova, and he gets a special cape, I think, that he picked up when he was visiting Leonardo da Vinci in the past at one point, and... He tries to pattern himself on Batman, so Batman has his utility belt and Superman has his new super cape, which has all sorts of little gadgets hidden in it. It's a fun, I don't know, I've reread it a million times, and it's just one of those fun little imaginary
from stories. 1955, really?
I don't think it's that. No, it's probably 60s.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Might be looking
it is 1968, September 1st, 1968.
Okay, it must be a different volume.
Yeah, it's a cool one. It's It's fun. And I probably like it because it's one of the first World's Finest stories I would have read.
Mm-hmm.
And reread and reread because that was a digest that had the... what was the other story in it? The Composite Superman story in it. So,
Oh, yeah. I still have that one.
But I've always liked the little Nova story in there, and it shows Superman trying to do what he can do, and Batman training him, and it's just fun. It's fun.
Oh, one second.
Looks like he hooks up with Green Arrow as well for that training.
Green Arrow tries to train him a little bit, and
I thought you said 78.
Sorry, no, 178.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
It's definitely an imaginary story. Oh, Mr. Socrates.
Nova. Yes, Mr. Socrates, the big mobster with the cool sunglasses.
Never again seen Mr. Socrates, probably.
Hmm. No. Yeah, they do skip one, don't they?
Yeah, and I think it was probably like a... I don't know, I'd have to dig through the digest, because I think... 179 was maybe a reprint issue or something. Or...
Yeah, it's like 170. I'm looking it up on this comic vine link that Caleb sent us. It's a startling origin of the Superman-Batman team-up and how they learned each other's identities.
Yeah.
It's 80-page reprinter.
80-page giant.
Yeah, that's an interesting story, though, in 178. That's kind of cool. Impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues into 180. That again, that is odd. I mean, and they would never do that now. Well, that's not true. Actually, Morrison did that with what did he do that with recently? He right in the middle of the story, he then skipped, you know, and did something else for a month, and then went back and
finished. Yeah, it was in Batman Incorporated, I think. But I could be wrong.
You could be.
No, it was in Action Comics, the new 52 Action Comics. He stopped in the middle of the story to tell that deal with the Legion, and then he went back into the main story.
God, you know who's in the second part of this 180?
What?
You might appreciate this, Murray. It's the first appearance of Knight and Squire, the Gaucho, the Ranger, Musketeer. All these
get out of here. Yeah, it is. The Batman of all nations. You're right.
That's their first appearance?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Maybe in the actual issue, maybe in your reprint, in the Blue Ribbon Digest, they didn't have that part. They didn't have that story, but in the original copy of 180.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because they probably just picked the one story that they would have printed.
So what about this? Like, just this particular two-parter, though. You're just like, this is a Superman story that I can get behind.
Yeah, to me, it was. It was more of a Superman than a Batman story, but I liked that Batman was kind of in it. For me, I think I like Superman best when he is interacting with the other heroes in the DCU. So a plain old regular Superman series isn't usually going to do it for me, but when he's mixing it up with other folks, then I kind of like it. And it was... As I said, it was one that I reread just because it happened to be on the shelf.
And of course, most of these World Finest seem to be one of my least favorite things in comic books is the speech balloons on the cover.
Oh, we've
talked about
that.
This before. I mean, it's fine. Back then, you could get away with it, but when I see it now, it just makes my skin crawl, man. It really does.
People must never talk on a cover. They must
covers are supposed to get you in, and then they talk when they get inside. It's like a library on the cover. That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just me.
You're going to agree to disagree on that particular point?
Well, I think we've talked about that before, and that's what you said previously. So that's
and I think we determined you were wrong.
That's fine. I can handle that.
All right.
I get told that a lot, but you know
that there should be words on covers.
No, that I'm wrong. But anyway, okay, what's next?
All right, next one is it's by Otto Binder. You guys are going to get this one pretty quickly. Otto Binder, or Binder, excuse me, and Al Plastino.
Adventure 47.
Yes, it is.
Oh, good one.
Yes, it is. I knew one of you would get that pretty quickly.
I was leaning towards that.
So, yes, Adventure Comics 247, the very first appearance of the Legion of
Yes,
superheroes.
It should have been on my list. I don't know why it wasn't.
It's a Superboy story, so
that's fine.
It's easily. Poor lonely Superboy needed somebody to hang out with, and coincidentally, these three creepy teenagers from the future came back and made him feel like a real doofus, and then said, "Hey, you're our hero," and thus was born the Legion of Superheroes with Lightning Boy and Cosmic Boy and Saturn Girl. So, despite the recent debacle that is the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh God! Yeah, I just read that the last one. Oh my Lord!
I am a lifetime fan of Legion, and I probably buy, anything Legion going forward, regardless. And
but it's not as bad as Legion Lost, though.
No.
It's not Legion Lost bad. It's bad, but not Legion Lost bad.
No.
There's your gauge, people. If you're keeping track of, if you're playing the home game, that's your gauge right there.
Right there. Legion Lost sets the bar pretty low, though.
Yes,
so
it does.
Easy to, definitely easy to overcome that.
True. Because you can throw, Amazon Attacks in there. It wasn't that bad.
Civil War.
yeah.
Avengers versus X-Men, ultimately.
Age of Ultron.
What? AVX? I don't know if that was bad. It was just ridiculous. All that to kill Professor X, but, if you read any Bleeding Cool recently, you'll see that he was not the original one they were going to get rid of. I didn't read the details.
They were planning on killing Nightwing in that one. So.
nice.
Thank you.
Nice way to turn it around on me there. Awesome.
No problem. So anyhow, the first appearance of Legion of Superheroes had to make my list. I was worried that one of you was going to steal it first, but
no. Since everything's still kind of, they're all packed up there, and I didn't have a chance to go through issues. I was just culling the Comixology ones, but yeah, I should have had that in there, and I am terribly ashamed that I didn't. So I'll go in the corner now.
Blair Witch Project, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I might redeem myself here in a little bit, but.
I'm done. I figured this needed to be needed to be said. And
do we need to go over? Yeah, we don't need to go over that one anymore, do we? That's been covered a lot, probably.
By people much 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 more eloquent than I am. So
yeah, more eloquent than I am as well.
But not more eloquent than Murray.
So. No, he's pretty well versed in the eloquent. However the hell you say it.
No.
Eloquacity.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. Here is one that was a surprise hit for me. It's an Elseworlds story, and you might be able to guess. It's probably my favorite Kurt Busiek story. And we're talking about Superman Secret Identity.
Oh.
Which is funny because I had this on my list and I was looking on Facebook and Kurt had posted a review on it. And it came out in 2004. And basically, it's supposed to be in our world. And you got this guy who's living in Kansas. His name is Clark Kent. And his last name is Kent. You're young, living in Kansas, and you want to be a writer. Your last name is Kent. And your parents make the mistake of naming you Clark. Now life is filled with taunts and jokes. Then one day you discover that you can fly and you do have super strength. But how and what do you do now? So it's like kind of a lot. It's Man of Steel has a little bit of this in here. It's like more realistic if the world found out that there was a man like Superman. But it's supposed to be in our quote unquote world, because it shows him like on a birthday and everybody's giving him Superman shirts and comic books, and you know he really hates Superman character. But when he gets the powers, that's exactly what he does, is he dresses up like that. Well, because I think he was in a Halloween costume when he figured it out. But anyway, it's a four-issue series. It was in, like, the prestige format, and it was out of print quick, and they put a trade out years after that, and it was out of print almost immediately. Oh, and I forgot to mention Stuart Immonen art. But it's on, all four issues are on Comicsology for $2.99. Well worth the money. It's one of my, I need to read it again. But I just, it's one of my favorite Kurt Busiek works, and it is one of my favorite, if not, well, yeah, it's not the favorite, but it's one of my favorite Superman stories.
I ended up checking this out in the library one time, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't buy it.
It's great.
Yeah, I just picked it up on the 99-cent sale. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was really good. Busiek has this ability to really, and there's not very many writers can do it, just make the character so three-dimensional and believable, even though you're talking about some guy that can fly and has super strength. I mean, it's just so believable. It's amazing. So,
it's one of the last Elseworlds stories, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. I think it doesn't even have the Elseworlds on the cover, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope, it does not.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's still considered Elseworlds.
Yeah, 2004, so yeah. Gosh,
yeah, I forgot about this one.
I love that book. All right, next up.
Oh, that's me.
Yes.
Great, so I'm going to my list, and I am picking... I'm going to go with... okay. Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow?
You know, I was going to get that one. Oh, that is... I love that story.
I really like... I've had the first issue, like the first part, the... I don't remember if it was the Superman part or the Action Comics part. I forget which one comes first. I've had that one forever. But I did never get the second part until the 99-cent sale. And so I finally got to read the whole thing. And it's good. It's just a... It's a great way to wrap up not even the Silver Age, like the Bronze Age Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And get him ready for Crisisville. And,
yeah. I didn't read that till they put it out in a trade years later. I missed it somehow.
Yeah, it was one of those things where they were playing catch up after Crisis. You know, they still had, for a few months, they still had Bronze Age Superman going, and they hadn't rebooted with Man of Steel yet. And then Alan Moore came along and closed it out along with was it Kurt Swan did one issue and Perez did another issue or something like that?
Seems like it.
No, I think Kurt did both.
Did he? Okay.
Now, Perez might have been inking him on one of the issues.
Yeah, I think he was.
But it was Swan on pencils for both.
It was a bloody story. There are parts of that that are just like...
Oh, yeah. That whole Brainiac 5, Luthor team up, and it was... Yeah, it was brutal. It really was. I'd like to see that as animated, to tell you the truth, but they'll never do it at this point.
The Mixaplixable, whatever, just totally lost.
Yeah, he lost his freaking doogies, didn't he?
Yes. Lost his ninjas. But isn't every one of the Silver Age and Bronze Age Superman characters floating around there in some form or another?
Yeah, that's what I really liked about it. You got to see all the main characters. They all got like a little send off, and whether you liked it or not, whether you liked the send off or not, is entirely up to you. But it was cool to see all those Silver Age and Bronze Age guys get their final moment on the stage. Not enough comics do that. There's not enough good goodbye comics
for when they do.
Yeah, like when they end things, I'd like to see a big ending. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Because a lot
when Flashpoint came along, they could have done all kinds of. What?
You still there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Just a little glitch, I think.
Okay. No, I was saying, like, when Flashpoint came along, they had the opportunity to do what could have been a lot of really good goodbye stories.
Yeah, they could have.
And they just didn't really.
Yeah, no, I don't think, I think only a couple of the comics did, like.
Yeah, just a missed opportunity.
Oh, absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, they knew that it was coming, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have done a lot better with it.
Right. Well, like, mine are in no particular order, so I'm going to stick with the single issue, my last single issue one before I get into the my ones that are bigger ones. But this is by Wolfman and Perez. It is part of the maxi series of all time.
Oh, man, I should have put that one in there.
I put Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7.
Yeah, that should have been in there.
I didn't think of that one either. Oh.
I mean, it's obviously, it's got, you know, if, for the first two-thirds of the book, it's, you know, it's a DC Universe story. I mean, it's even got it's got the classic Uncle Sam speech in there.
Oh, yeah.
Rallying the troops. But then in the last third, they, you know, the badass, kick-ass, you know, can't-be-hurt characters, including Wildfire and his, for some reason, his only indestructible suit he ever had. Go and attack the Anti-Monitor on Quard, and Supergirl and Dr. Light break on through to the other side. Supergirl is wailing the hell out of the Anti-Monitor. He's gonna beat him. You know she's gonna do it. Gets distracted and gets hosted by the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah. I actually have that and the one where the Flash dies, Barry Allen, signed by Perez.
Mm-hmm.
On the cover. Yeah.
My Crisis hardcover signed by both of them. So.
Okay, you win.
I do win. she gets those, and Superman cries.
I know. Hell, I cried.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was.
I admit it. I cried like a little baby when that happened.
That cool moment when he's up in the Arctic, you know, and he's got her wrapped in the shroud, and he's
saying
his little Kryptonian prayer. You know, they even have the moment where Brainiac 5 is in tears.
You know, I've read that so many times, I don't even need to look at the issue. I can picture those pages in my head right now.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know why she got distracted? Because she had a stupid headband on.
It was the headband era. The headband and miniskirt.
Oh, yeah, she was it, actually.
She was two issues away from having leg warmers, I'm sure.
What'd you say, Caleb?
I was just saying, you know, if her series had lasted two more issues, she probably would have had leg warmers as well. So.
Yeah, she probably would have. Yeah, that was an unfortunate look for her, wasn't it?
Though Infantino could certainly draw the hell out of it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You're right there.
I mentioned it when we had a brief conversation when Infantino died recently, and those issues jumped out at me. But this one, like you said, I can picture. I can probably, especially that last sequence, again, when they're on Quard and they're taking down the Anti-Monitor, I can pretty much, if not dialogue-wise, I can pretty much picture panel for panel.
Panel for panel, for sure. Because, like, I don't know, I probably said that before, because I've got the original issues, and then I got the hardcover they made that has the not fixed pages in it. Mm-hmm. And I got the trade, and I have the Absolute. Those are the two Absolute editions I have, is Crisis and New Frontier.
I should get that in Absolute, but it's probably really expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard to find now. I don't know. There might be somewhere that's got it.
I think that is a super fan story, at least.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's Supermans up from all over the place on there.
I mean, they even have that moment where where Golden Age Superman is, you know, he's bloodied and his hair is all messed up and he's trying to console Silver Age Superman, and it's all an awesome
issue.
Yeah,
that was a brutal one too.
Yeah.
It was no holds barred in that one.
And you were saying a few minutes ago about send-offs. That's a send-off.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. And that one, well, that one wasn't as permanent as Barry Allen was. I say that with air quotes, permanent.
Until 24 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 22 months ago, excuse me.
Yeah, something like that. Actually, he came out in Final Crisis, came back in Final Crisis.
Oh, you're right. That just before Flashpoint. You're right.
Yeah. So. And because it was Barry Allen that was in Flashpoint.
Yes, you're right. Of course.
But yeah, that's a good one. It's sad, but it's still a good story. They don't make them like that anymore. Death.
Now get off my lawn.
It's true. Death is like a plot device now. It's not serious. I mean, like, that was a big freaking deal.
Yep.
Now, I mean, they killed Legionnaires, but you got 400 of them, so, I mean, you know. And they all stayed dead, too. But, yeah, Death, it'll be back next big event.
Just Kid Psycho. Kid Psycho's the only one who stayed dead.
Yeah, that's true. He is. He'll probably, whippersnappers don't even remember him anymore, do they? Damn kids.
Okay, that's my third choice.
That's good. That's a good one. Very good one. All right. My next one. I don't know if everybody liked it as much as I did, but I greatly enjoyed it, and it was finally the return of the real Legion of Superheroes. Not those fakers that were there for years.
You have to narrow that down.
Well, yeah, I know. It's anyway, the one that I grew up with. We're talking about the story in Action Comics, Jeff Johns, Superman and the Legion of Superheroes.
Oh.
They came back. Earthman was first shown. There's all the xenophobia stuff and I just love that. I love that book. I bought the hardcover of it. I've got all the issues on Comixology. I have the original issues. And absolutely one of my favorite ones because of, you know, the ones I grew up with and you guys grew up with. They brought them back. So
I need to reread that. I literally have not read that since it came out.
I've read it at least two or three times. It's really good. And when they had it on sale on Comixology, I bought all the issues of it. So, Action Comics 858 through 863 for those playing the home game.
Great it is on Mr. Amazon.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's in trade by now. But I remember when they solicited it, that's when I was getting stuff through DCBS. I pre-ordered it in hardcover because I loved it so much.
$13.49. Oh, a used copy for $3.15.
There you go.
Yeah, the only strike against this particular story, the only strike, because I agree with you. Awesome.
I know
awesome
what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Awesome return of the Legion of Superheroes. I like the fact that, you know, they retain the continuity that they had ignored for a couple of years there.
Yeah, I mean, almost flat out denied, you know.
But the strike against it, Gary Frank.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You've said that before, you didn't care for his art.
I don't. And that's probably why I have not reread this since it came out.
It took getting used to, but I actually like it in the story. It gives it a little bit more grittiness that I think it kind of needed.
His eyes creep me out.
Yeah, they are kind of creepy.
They're like frog eyes.
they're all staring. If you guys can see me right now, I'm trying to do this big eye thing, like Dracula.
like the Japanese draw people.
Yes.
Go huge eyes. Yeah, I admit the his art. I don't hate it, but I don't really. I don't know if I'd say I'd love it, but I like it enough. It doesn't bother me. Let's put it that way. And
stronger man than I am, for that's for damn sure.
Hey, it's just, you know, it's one of those things.
I think that's a good choice. For the exact same reasons as you liked it, which is they brought back Legion that I like. But remember, I was also a fan of Reboot, so.
I know. I was a fan. There isn't really any of them. The only one I didn't like is that whole the whole Blight storyline that DNA did. I hated that. And I wasn't a big fan of the 5 year later run until I listened to the Legion podcasters go over it, and I really need to read that over again, because that I did not realize all the crap going on in the background, and I see what they're trying to do now, and it's great. It's great stuff. So, but anyway.
It's Fat Old Brainy.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome stuff, man.
All right.
Next up.
All right. I'm going to pick the Jimmy Olsen special from a couple years ago. Must be before Flashpoint, because they were still doing backups back then.
So they were doing it with Guardian and stuff?
No, I don't think so.
These are James Robinson ones, right?
Nope. This was Nick Spencer and R.B. Silva. They were doing like 10-page backups in...
Oh, that's right. And they canceled them and then put them in their own.
Yeah, I think they were in the Action Comics. So I think they were like backups when Lex Luthor was in Action Comics.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
And then they stopped doing the 10-page backups and they just kind of smushed them all into one big 80-page special.
Yeah.
And it's a great read. It's fun. The artwork is beautiful. It's short little chapters and Jimmy Olsen doing super silly stuff the way you remember him doing stuff. But none of it feels hokey. Like it's all very modern. It's all very hip. But it's a great throwback to Jimmy being silly and goofy and giant turtle men and, you know, all those. I don't think there's a turtle man in the story, mind you, but... But it's still, it's a fun read. And the artwork is beautiful. I love R.B. Silva stuff. I wish he was doing something that I wanted to read in the New 52, because I would totally follow along with him. But he's doing Superboy right now, and that's not catching my interest. But I'm sure it's a beautiful book. I think he's still on Superboy anyway.
You know, I've read Superboy in a long time, since they did that thing where he was like, you know, stole that money and had that fancy apartment and crap. I'm like, I'm out. I was reading it up until that point, so I have no idea. I haven't read it in months. Anyway,
Jimmy Olsen special from a couple years ago. Great.
Cool.
Jimmy Olsen special.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it's called.
Yeah, I'm sure. There it is. From 2008.
2008, yeah, that sounds about right.
No, this is a different one. This is a different one, because this is the James Robinson one that I was thinking of. So.
Yeah, that's probably one I was thinking of, too. They're doing that Patriot storyline.
Yeah, this is a different one.
Actually, I thought it was pretty good, but...
Yeah, no, it absolutely was. This is just a different...
With Monel in a really crappy costume.
DC Comics, May 2011.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I remember that, because, yeah, that's when they were doing – that was right around the time they did Holding the Line at $2.99, and it's like, well, these books are going to have a co-feature in them. Mm. They'll be a dollar more. Yeah, I remember that. Yep. I remember that, and that didn't last long. Yep, I remember
that. All right, good choice. Damn you for doing the good choices.
You always do real – he always does real good on these. It's like stuff I never just pull stuff just out of nowhere. It's amazing.
out of my bum.
There it is. Oh, and it has this cool Amanda Connor cover, too.
Yeah, I seem to remember that now. That's cool.
All right. Okay, well, my next one, I don't think Superman even appears in this. I think I know for a fact that Clark Kent does. It was a 12-issue series written by one of my all-time favorite comic book writers, John Ostrander. It had art by both Tom Mandrake, who's also one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah, he is awesome.
And it also had art by, excuse me, pardon me, guys.
All right.
Timothy Truman, who did, you know, who we know mostly from Western stuff. And that's why this one kicked butt. It was called The Kents.
You know, I've never read that.
12-issue miniseries, basically about how the Kents ended up in Kansas and were, you know, running an underground railroad, helping, you know, the blacks get here to there, and how, you know, they fought the man.
Yep.
And why the Kents are just basically kind of like how what they did with Streets of Gotham, how they created this whole history for the families of Gotham City. It's like, why are the Kents important beyond just being Superman's mom and dad?
Yeah.
So, but this is mostly obviously about
Jonathan. They reference that a lot in other stories, too.
Well, they should, too. It's really good. Ostrander, you know, this is kind of his ballywick, is doing these Western stories. He did a couple for Marvel.
Yeah. And, you know, he does.
They're Western heroes.
He does Star Wars great. Mm-hmm. I remembered I had downloaded a bunch of stuff from the Dark Horse app and never read it. And he does a lot of Star Wars little miniseries, and I just love his work. He's so good at it.
No, he's awesome. I mean, the Suicide Squad. He actually did the only done in one issue of the current run of Aquaman, and it was really good.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was an awesome issue. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that a lot.
I think he even did it. He did an issue, I think, of Secret Six, or a two-parter of Secret Six prior to the...
I remember that. That was really good. I think saw a thing about... He did a blog entry where he's got writer's block right now.
Which is a shame.
Yeah, I know. I've had that. It sucks. Although you talk to some writers, and they say writer's block doesn't exist, which irritated the crap out of me at the time. I went some kind of writer's workshop at some Microsoft thing I went to, and it's like, well, what do you do about writers? Oh, there is no such thing. And I just wanted to walk up and smack the guy. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, that's my fourth pick is The Kents by Ostrander with art by Mandrake and Truman.
I'm going to have to get that.
I'm sure it was available on our buddy Comixology out there.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure it is too. Okay, my pick. Mentioned it several times on this podcast, I believe. Brought to us by the Watchmen team of Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. We are talking about Superman Annual number 11 from 1985. One of the last pre-Crisis Superman stories, I believe. It is the story of Superman's birthday. And it begins with Batman it begins with scenes of Krypton, but that's another story. Superman and the Jason Todd Robin and Wonder Woman show up at the Fortress of Solitude to give Superman a present for his birthday. And when he get there, he's got the thing which is used later on in a Green Lantern story, the Black Mercy, I believe is what it's called, on his chest. You all know the one I'm talking about?
I do.
Love that story. And they have flashbacks. It's supposed to... Is that... Did I get that right? Black Mercy. Yes, Black Mercy. I was right. You get flashbacks of what he's thinking because it's a symbiont kind of thing, and it gives you your quote-unquote heart's desire. So he's thinking about, you know, he lived on Krypton, and Krypton never exploded, and all the different things that happened. But it's slowly turning to crap. Because he's fighting it in his brain. But meanwhile, you got Mongol shows up. He's the one to put it on him. And we all know Mongol's a really bad man. space alien type person.
Bad man. Real bad man.
And they did a Justice League Unlimited version of this, I think. It might have been a Justice League. But, you know, they left the Robin character out, but it was Batman and Wonder Woman. But, yeah, so she takes him on, and Batman starts trying to figure out how to stop this guy. She's, you know, fight, and you, of course, there's flashbacks and forth to the alternate reality Krypton. And it's a great tour of the fortress. You know, they get to the armory. She uses some of the super weapons on him and everything else. So, yeah, it is an awesome, awesome story.
Do you know who created Mambo? You'll like this.
I have no idea.
Jim Peter Starlin. Page.
Really?
No.
Did he?
Nope.
Tomasi created him.
What?
No, no way. This was in 85.
This was 85?
This story was in 85, yes.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking at the wrong stupid character. My bad. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I'm sure Jim Starlin did. Yeah, I can believe Jim Starlin.
Sorry, my bad. I was looking at somebody else. Apologies.
I think Mongo was around before Peter Tomasi was around.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong... I was looking at the son of Mongo. My bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was created by Len Wein and Jim Starlin, artist Jim Starlin. Starlin often receives credit as a creator of the character, but Wein in an interview stated, well, Mongo had Starlin visuals, but he was my creation. And Wein said he conceived Mongol specifically as a villain to physically challenge Superman. And he does that quite well, I might add. Over the last couple of years, they turned him into a...
hot tamale.
they turned him into a Green Lantern villain. So, anyway.
Hot tamale.
Yeah, he's like wearing miniskirts and go-go boots. And he's doing high kicks. Serving drinks in the bar.
Yeah, okay.
That's what Mongol does on his days
off.
Yeah,
he gets involved. He gets involved in the Sinestro Corps war, I think. And he is a bad mofo, man. Gets his arm torn off and he keeps going. Oh, something else. Or was that the son of Mongol? That might have been the son. Anyway.
You might be doing what I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
No, what, you're right. DC Comics Presents 27, which was, yeah, it was Starlin and Wein, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite characters to hate. Because he's such an arrogant... Yeah. And then you see Superman really let go and unleash, which you don't... Back in that time, you didn't see very often. He was always a little bit too goody-goody for me back then. But, sometimes. But, yeah, you see the fortress, the Ball City of Kandor, and all that stuff. It's great stuff.
I'm trying to remember how he got Mongo got hooked up with Green Lantern, you know, prior to Hal Jordan losing his shit. But
oh yeah, he was involved in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the one who destroyed.
Yeah, that's right.
Destroyed Coast City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But this is a great Superman story. I mean, it goes on most. If not all, you know, top five, top ten, Superman.
Yeah, I think when we did a top five comic stories ever, I think this was on my list because I keep going back to it. Every once in a while, I'll pull that. That's probably one of the few pre-crisis Superman stories I still have in the actual comic of.
I'm trying to remember whether it's in my DC unit, if it's in that DC Universe Alan Moore collection.
I believe it is, actually. More than likely, that's where it is, because, yeah. But I like the fact that it's Dave Gibbons, too. That's another good, you know, this is probably right before Watchmen came out, actually. I could be wrong.
No, it would probably be, you know, time-wise, that's about right.
85, 86.
What's the issue number? Superman Annual number 11 is, in fact, in there, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have it. Here.
Great story.
I have a copy.
But yeah, the comic they did of it, I mean the cartoon version they did of it was really good too.
Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And and Mongol just decimates Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. That was a thorough beating. That is for sure.
It's like, you didn't see in cartoons, you did not see a guy beating down a woman that often.
No, they got serious, for sure.
He gave her the ass whooping.
Mm-hmm.
He went old school Southern style on her.
Oh, yeah, man, it was, yeah, that was something.
She was Tina, he was Ike.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's right.
I can't believe you went there. Wow. Wow.
Big wheel, keep on turning indeed.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, something. I remember that song.
Rolling. Okay.
All right, moving on.
Top that, Murray.
Yeah, come on. What you got?
Oh, can't
you might do
that.
It. He's pretty good at that.
Nope, I just realized my last pick is it's fun, but it's kind of lame-o. It is from the Superboy run when Superboy was wearing leather jackets and hanging out in Hawaii.
Oh, curse you, sir.
Nope, that's my favorite Superboy.
Oh.
The Kiesel Superboy. Okay.
Yep.
Which issue are we talking
about? And this is when Carl Kiesel and Tom Grummett came back to the series. So they left for a little while, and then they came back. And it was right around the time of Hyper Time, and they were playing around with Hyper Time stories, and Superboy was kind of bouncing through Hyper Timelines, I guess, because they weren't alternate realities.
Oh, yeah, it's the whole Black Sun thing?
Yeah, the Black Sun thing, and they were
playing around with
Kirby concepts, and it was just fun, so much fun. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That's the Superboy I like. I mean, I guess the one in the Legion is fine. You know, the big blue Boy Scout who's the inspiration and everything. He's fine. But if I have to have a Superboy, I want one with aviator glasses and a leather jacket and lots of belts and one that can surf and is fun. That's the Superboy I want. I don't want the ripped T-shirt, grumpy Gus that's sucking face with Wonder Girl. He's a bore. I want the one who's surfing and playing around and having a good time all the time in Hawaii. That's the one I like. And this particular run of stories I like a lot because they're fun. You get to see so many different DC characters. Like, they're throwing...
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Every little unknown, forgotten character kind of shows up in that run of stories, and it's just fun.
Yeah, I have to admit those were actually I don't remember what brought. Oh, I think they brought in a Mon-El character, like character called Champion, or it was supposed to be. And I started reading it again, and I remember that storyline. That was actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They've never collected those, have they? Wow.
I don't think they have.
No, they don't want to. They don't want to remember that version of Superboy because he's kind of dated. He's a little dated.
You know, it was funny. They finally got to actually like that character, that version of Superboy, and then they killed him in Infinite Crisis.
That's when I was trying to think when they converted him over to the T-shirt wearing version of him, and as soon as
Geoff Johns got his.
Yeah, that's right.
A little serious
well,
hand.
I think it was a little bit before that, too. But no, they made him that way in the Teen
Titans. No, it was Teen Titans.
You're right.
We need a grumpy Gus. We need a serious cranky pants to be on the team. So it's going to be Superboy.
Yeah, I finally got to like, because I was reading that run a lot, and I finally got to liking that character, and then they killed him off. That was hilarious, I thought.
And you could not have set me up better for my last choice, Murray. You just softball to me, man.
Wow. The line drive?
Oh, my God. No, not even line drive. I don't even have to work for this transition from his to mine. Mine is pure fun as well. At least I think it's pure fun. It's... right after, and also one of my favorite single issues is Superman number 75. I really love that one. But this is what came next. This was the reign of the Superman.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
When they introduced John Irons as Steel and Hank Henshaw as the Cyborg Superman and the Eradicator and gave Matrix a personality, and they introduced Kal-El, Superboy, the clone.
That was a interesting time in comic history.
Oh, it was a great time. It was a fun time to be. It was like there was just a modicum of a sense that maybe Superman is not coming back. I mean, it was kind of there, and there was the mystery. Which of these guys is the real Superman? They eliminated Kal-El and they eliminated John Irons, and you still think maybe it's the Cyborg Superman or the Eradicator. But it was just fun. It was probably the only time I was buying I was buying Superman weekly.
Oh God, four, yeah, me too, man.
There were four freaking Superman books on the shelf every month. Action, Man of Steel, Adventures of Superman, and Superman.
I kept reading it for a long time after that too.
And I think they had this may have been pre-Diamond issues. I don't know the numbered diamonds on the cover, but
yeah, that was before that.
It just.
They didn't start that until Superman came back.
Oh, is that right? Okay. When they did like the...
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Exiled in Space story or the...
Yeah, I never did read that one.
When he was flipped out and he thought he was the... not the Guardian. Who did he think he was for a while? Anyhow. I liked the concept. It was pure superhero Superman stuff. It was, how does the world deal with Superman being gone? Well, they fill the void. These four characters come in and fill the void. It takes four characters to fill the void of one character. And so that's my fourth choice. And again, you set it right up there. Here's the Superboy with the glasses and the jacket and the bad attitude and the always pulling out with the really bad 80s references. Wouldn't it surprise me if he hung out with Vibe and Breakdance? I mean, it was all... Actually, it was 90s. I'm sorry, this was 90s, but still.
Yeah, cool 90s character.
Yes. He was cool K-E-W-L before K-E-W-L existed.
That's right. All right,
I'll give you that. That's funny.
But and again, I've always been a fan since he was created of John Irons. So that version of Steel.
Yeah, now that character I've always liked.
I even came to like the Eradicator at a certain point. I always thought Hank Henshaw was a stupid villain. That was just me.
Yeah, I'm so glad they brought him back.
Did they?
Yeah, and Supergirl, Cyborg Superman.
Oh, did they? Okay, if you say
yeah.
So.
And then, I was glad they finally killed that character off in one of the Green Lantern stories.
And this was also the same period. They keep bringing him back though. He's like, or at least they did pre New 52. They any little bit of him and he could come back. I remember he tried to commit suicide and he couldn't do it.
Yeah, that was in. That's why he helped the Anti-Monitor because he promised he would kill him.
And then, of course, Matrix. Matrix was a cool character. Peter David obviously made her even cooler, but she was dating,
Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor with the long flowing red hair.
Yeah, the clone that he called his son.
Yep. He was Australian, but wasn't really Australian.
That was a whole weird thing.
Yep.
You're supposed to make lies simple, not that complicated.
That's right. It was pretty convoluted, wasn't
it's like,
it?
What? Okay. Whatever.
Well, and as I said, I've said numerous times, I'm not the Superman fan. I'm not the target audience for a Superman story. But I was reading Superman every single freaking week because I was invested in these characters. I wanted to see where it went. There was a small part of me that thought maybe they're not bringing Kal-El back, but of course,
Yeah. They did. Eventually. Made you wonder for a long time, didn't they?
They did. I don't remember how long this went on for before.
It was at least a year.
It's good. And then they did the, and they brought him back. And all these characters survived, to a certain point. Even, John Irons became a fairly important supporting character. Even reused recently in action comic books with those.
Yep, that's right.
Those cool pickups. Superboy, the Kal-El version, has had various incarnations and has his own title now. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, there you go. That's my fifth favorite Superman.
Okay, awesome. Well, that about covers it, boys and girls.
I had two more. Yeah, honorable mentions. One of them was...
Oh, go ahead. Throw it out there.
Superman for All Seasons, the Loeb and Sale miniseries.
I haven't read that one. I heard that was good.
That just so close to making the cut. And the other one is out of comic books with Superman the movie.
Yeah. My other ones were, let's see, where is it? That Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Trinity story I told you by Matt Wagner, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Love that book. I actually had The Death of Superman in here. It was just so epic. And then the Superman Brainiac story that Geoff Johns did, which is, I think, the basis of the Superman Unchained animated movie that just came out recently.
Is that the one that ends with Jonathan Kent dying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a heart attack. They had the big controversy with issue 869 because they first showed the two of them drinking beer, and then they had to go in and change it to soda pop. Yeah. Superman can't drink beer? My God, man! That would be unholy!
Yes, because Superman would never do anything like that, like kill people, or drink beer. Oh, wait a minute. Or have sex.
It was probably Canadian beer.
Canadian beer. Funny. Oh, that's awesome.
But Superman drinking American beer, come on, what does that say?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was about that, but...
So Path Blue Ribbon would have been okay?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Unless, of course, you've actually drunk Path Blue Ribbon, and then you know, in fact, it is not okay.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I think I remember that. Well, that's it for this week here, boys and girls.
Hey, happy 100th, guys.
Man. Yeah, that's happy 100th. It's actually pretty cool. There was times that when things were going on, I didn't want to do it, but I still did it, and happy that I did, and... a lot of that's behind me now, so we're all good.
Excellent.
And keep doing it as long as you guys want to do it.
I'm here. I got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I am. Cool. Real good issues, though. I might have to look at that 400. Point. I know I've got that Superman 400. I'm going to have to look that up because that's a cool issue.
I'm going to get Superman's Secret Identity now, and I've got to dig out my one more because I want to reread that. What do you get the man who has everything?
Story. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I'm going to have to find the cartoon of it and watch it, I think. I got to go to the store, though, first.
Go buy things. Go spend money. Go be a consumer.
Yes. I have much to consume. All right, well, that wraps this episode up. Number 100, boys and girls, and it's a good deal. So I'm happy. I feel like I've accomplished something, you know?
Great.
So, as usual, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Or you can check us out on the Facebook page. Just do a search for us, and you'll find us there with our ragtag band of comic geeks that comment fervently on different topics.
Oh, my.
I'm very good at completely destroying the English language. I've just disturbed there some people, I'm sure. But what else? Oh, yes, on the actual episodes. You can comment there. Please come by and do that. But yeah, that's about it. That's all we got.
I hope
until next time.
Afterwards, I hope everyone had a good 4th of July.
Yes,
except
exactly.
You, Murray, who couldn't care less because you're up in Canada. So
had a lovely Canada today, and it was beautiful. We waved flags and had fireworks, and we just did it all before you guys do your thing.
Yeah, I saw some pictures that Mr. That Paul, I'm spacing on his last name also. Paul French. Yes, he posted with his daughter with a sparkler. I thought that was kind of cute. So.